all I can remember. No. Just enough to get everybody at it, I hope. I would have thrown another one up, but another song on the I'm too tired. Okay, we're on page 9, and we've been recording everything that's gone on in between. So, and we're down to this thing of the use of emphasis. Now, this will help you looking at any other book when we talk about emphasis. If there is a, let's see, anybody sleep? There's a pulpit pounder. If there's a pulpit pounder, they're in the books. And it's really interesting. And one of those ways that the pulpit is pounded is with an emphatic pronoun. And Dale covered them in his paper in some ways and what that means. When we talk about emphatic pronouns, we'll talk about it real quick because we're going to have to sail here. Wrong direction. I had to put a piece of tape over it so it'll only go one way. Okay. So personal pronouns. And we want to talk a teeny bit of Greek, but it's not bad when we talk about it. So we have personal pronouns that are added to the verb. That happens 9 times in the book of Colossians. You have the use of periphrasis. That's 4 times in the book. And then you have the use of evocative noun with an imperative verb. Okay, shall we all join together and try to say all those things real fast? These are all grammatical terms, I know. And when we talk about emphatic, we're talking about emphasis. And so when we use some of these forms to do that, now you'll notice in your notes on the bottom of page 9, I've got an illustration for you out of Colossians 4:12. And in Colossians 4:12, I'm just using this as an example of some of this emphasis. Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Jesus Christ, he salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. And I've, wait a minute, I've got the wrong illustration there. Okay. But when you what happens in the Greek, and let's explain it, and then I've given you all of them in your in this. I put the Greek in here and the English, so that'll help you so you can see those who don't know the Greek. You can see that there is a word there that's marked on that. And Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also," and he's emphasizing it. And he is before all things. You see, I mean, that's a pronoun that's stuck in front of a verb. Now, what happens in Greek verbs is when you get a verb, we do what we call parse a verb. And so you look at a Greek verb and you say, that's a present, active, indicative, third singular. That's identifying the form. Now, did you hear what I did when I said that? That's a present, active, so it's present tense, active voice, indicative mood, third person, singular. So whenever you see a verb, an irregular strong verb, it's going on a regular verb. It's not Hebrew. When you see that, you parse it with a third or second or first person, you're talking, you already have it. So when you say that third masculine singular is going to be his, that's Hebrew again. I can tell when I start doing that. Okay. And so though what happens, it's already in your verb. You already have that he in the verb. In order for it to emphasize it, you put the pronoun in front of it, so you have he. And then the next time you do it, you put the pronoun in front of it, you say, ha ha. No. That was really bad. Yeah, okay.
We are awake.
They must have really been awake for that. No, but you have the emphasis, is what I'm trying to say. Autos is he, and you see that in these. And so I've given you a list of those, so you have them. Now, you want to know what Paul emphasizes in the book? You've got a list right here in the paper. You can go through and you can see what that'll do when you want to study. What was important to Paul? Why does he punch something? Why does he pound the pulpit? Look it up. Got it right there. It's easy. Paraphrasis. Paraphrase. What paraphrasis is a grammatical structure that involves the to-be verb plus a participle. And in English, it's this way. You can look it up. Most languages have some use of paraphrasis. And what you do, you have a to-be verb, and so it would say, he is, and then you put a participle after that, and it is going or doing something on it. So you have that paraphrasis. I didn't even work to... Okay, and so we have this to-be verb with paraphrasis, and guess what? I put them in your notes. Page 11. And so I've given you the list in there, four of them. I did make a note in your notes. I went there after it in the grammars and could find an answer. Because there's a participle with a paraparticiple rather than with a strong verb. So you have it there. I like the paraphrasis in Colossians 2:10. You are complete in him. You see, there's an emphasis there. And so he pops you with paraphrasis. He hits you between the eyes with it. And so it's really easy to see that that's important. And if you didn't know that, I have it right here. One for each side. Okay. But most grammars don't say, it doesn't say a participle can do that. And you notice on the paragraph under B down at the end, it says, and you were, and that was a participle, sometimes alienated. And so there's another participle. That's for those who care. Okay. Another way to emphasize things in the New Testament is by using the vocative. Now, a vocative is a form of noun. That's our word here. And it's naming something. And then it's followed by a verb that's in an imperative. Husbands, love your wives. Now, that's the way it's written. And so we have, and I again have them all in your notes. It says, wives, see, I was kind. Wives, submit yourselves. Husbands, love. Children, obey. Fathers, provoke not. Servants, obey. Masters, give. And that's emphasis. Does that sound like Ephesians? Really does. It's shorter here than it is in Ephesians, but it's the same kind of progression. And so you see, these emphatic kinds of things tell us what was important to Paul in his understanding of the needs of the Colossian church. And slip on their sandals, and you look at those emphatics, and I think you'll find it will be a real value in your own study. And so you can go to church and study and say, I studied the emphatics in Colossians. Keep your nose down. I was lecturing in Woodburn about that. We get some special things many times, and that's gracious. That's all that. Thank you, Carrie. Now, prepositions. I've given you a lot of data in that chart. I handed you the chart on prepositions. It's two pages. But you look at the stats on that chart. Where did I put mine? But you look at the statistics on that chart, and you should be rather well impressed with it. Where is my chart? There we are. Just two pages, but when you start adding things up, you have 193 of them. I have 188 in my mind because that's where I started with this. 193. Still, we're working toward 25 per chapter. 50 per chapter. And you go down and you look at them, and these stats are like are in this volume here. In other words, you have the number. Look at ICE is into. It has 19 and of 1,759 in the whole New Testament. And so these kinds of statistics are handy. And I've given you a list of them so that you can study them. And I think it might take a week or so to get N down. When you study the N preposition, I mean, there are only 88 of them, so a week. No. But you see, when you look at these, now I gave you simple definitions, I didn't transliterate them. Now, let me give you the commercial, and that is, when you get your Bible, I mean, maybe I ought to ask, how many of you mark the in Christ, in Him, in whom, in your New Testament? Okay, we're working on it. You know, it is so valuable to have those marked and underlined in your Bible. And if you read the English text, underline those. In Christ Jesus, in Him, in whom, in the Beloved. You know, that collection. Why is that important? Because if you have it underlined and you're reading along, you're reminded of something that's supremely important. It's where your head should be. And so you see it, and it rings the bell and says, hey, this is pertinent. So I would encourage you to do that. There have been a number of times that I've threatened to make a list of those that you should underline. But then I would do your work for you. And so I'm not going to do that. I do something like that anyway. Because I think I like to have, I mean, I'd like to see you underline two of these prepositions and do them in a little different color. The one is in, and the other is together with. That's soon. And then you have to underline not only this preposition by itself, but the verbs that have that as a prefix. And so if you do that, now I have that elsewhere, and we'll talk about that a little later. But if you do that underlining, it will be very edifying to you. And so that's why I've given you these. And if you feel like you'd like another copy of it, I'd be glad to let you have another copy. Even two. Because the operator of my computer made a mistake, and that was a bad thing. Well, I ran these things, and I ran them again. And, you know, I'm not doing very well with God's money on this. So, time is just about at it. Oops. Wrong machine. Let's just quick go through some of these. In, 88 times. You look at in Christ, obviously they're not all in Christ. Into, movement, 9 times. Dia, through, on account, by the agency of, 14 times. Kata is 14 times. I mean, these are little words that are connectors. I made a note in there that when we were in seminary, somebody asked one of the professors what was the most important part of the Greek language from his perspective. And his answer was prepositions. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, offhand, after you start Greek and get working on it, you say verbs and verb forms. But as you move along, you find out these prepositions really teach you doctrine in a way that if you don't understand them, you're going to miss some major things in this. And so we have ek is out of 11 times. Apa is from. And then you have soon, which are together with. Not all of these are pertinent to your position in Christ. You have the list. You can figure it out. That together. Huper is in place of or for or concerning 7 times in the book. Epi is upon. On or upon, somebody forgot to put there's a quote mark here, if you can see it. It's invisible. 6 times, cross is found 6 times, this is toward or at. But you see, these, you have all of the verses. I gave them to you on that chart. So you can play with this. And to me, it's just great play. I mean, it's just awesome. And you don't have to have a pastor teacher gift to do it and have fun. It is so much fun working in these areas and seeing how they fit. I put 5 more because I knew I was going to run out of space. And you have peri, ano, and they're all in your notes. Meta, hupo, exo. It doesn't occur very often. So these are areas where you can study, and honestly, there's a lot of sermon material just pivoting off of some of these prepositions and study material. And if you look up these verses and you just get the basic definition, so you wake up in the morning for devotions and you're going to do your devotions on the occurrence of kata. And a week later you're through and you have been edified. Or soon. I mean, if you do soon, and you will be edified. If you understand soon at all, you will be edified. I mean, you'll have to be dead carnal. And that's where you are when you're carnal, in that matter. There's so much blessing in that soon preposition that it's not even funny. Now, we come to our focus again. That's our focus. I did an exercise, and I'm going to stop quickly here. And I didn't get to some of the material, but you have it in your hands. It was kind of interesting when I was working and on this material, and I happened to have this tool open. And I was I was just kind of trying to get my head to where I was going. And I was looking at these words, and I saw pos. And this pos word, let's just do that to me. The operator is not getting any better. There it is. Pause 39 times. That's 10 times apiece. Let me show you something. I'm going to show you a pause in chapter 1. And it's really a fun thing. I have a lot of opportunity with this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. And it's in your notes, I highlighted it. 1:28 says, Paul says, we preach warning, pos man, every man, and teaching every man, and it's the word anthropos, every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. That's what he wanted. To have every man. And when it's in the singular, it's every. If it was a plural, it would be all. And if you decided to change it, it would be right there. Dr. Schaefer, when he came up with the slogan for the seminary, we're almost the month of May. Month of May is cemetery cleanup time. But ekistos means each one. And so you see the all, and then to take it to each one. And that's what we exist for, the seminary. I mean, that's really why we do what we do. And we trust God will bring whoever he wants in to do that. Each one mature. But you see that pos? There are four of them right there. Now what I did, I gave you a little structure and just threw this structure together with the prepositions. And you know, when I looked at it and I did this work, I thought, man, I could preach every one of those. And it would take me forever to get through the poses. Pentate, on the other hand, is this word. You see that you have a first two letters up there in Greek. Pan. Those two letters are derived from it. Now I'm telling you something here. We're looking at this word, and if you look it up in an interlinear or something, it doesn't look like it. It's going to be pantatat. I mean, it's going to go with masculine, feminine, neuter. It's going to look different. So panic not when you see that happen. And so this word is translated always at all time. I would embarrass Jan if I had a chance, but I don't think I will do it today. I was going to ask her to tell me about how to be thankful. Now, I do that because I love her, because I know she knows this. But I won't put you on the spot. Yeah, I already have. Okay, let's stop on that. No, we're thankful. We're thankful in all things, for all things, for all men, and all at all times. That's it. At all times. See? And so, I mean, you see how important this is to have that many of them in this little 95-verse book. Tells you, this is telling you something you need to know. It doesn't happen this way very often in many other places. So I've given you that, and you have it. Now, what do I want to do with this? You can tag out the end. You do have a chart, and this is where I could have gone. I didn't intend to at all, but I've taken key words, and I like to do this. Key words. If you want to do subject studies on that five-page chart, I've tried to systematize them somewhat. I didn't do anything fancy. And these are the words that are in that chart, and I've given you statistics. I mean, the church and the body and the head. You've got so much key material, you add those all up, and you find out you've got a lot of verses on the subject. And I just tried to systematize them as they go. And I think you'll find that it'll be something you might have fun with. I mean, if you say, God, I'm tired of reading Daily Bread, and let me do some work just in a book. And you look at one of these boxes of words and go down and study those studies. Look at them. Work them. And God will grow you. This is why He grows Christians, through the words in His Word. And so when you go through these lists, and you might wonder why I put some of them in here. Under salvation, I put the redemption term, the reconciled term, I put righteous term, and I put saint, which is sanctification. I put those in. But you can see, and I've given you all the passages. So I'm kind of reminded of what an apostle said. And he said, you are without excuse. Because I've given you a lot of stuff here. And that material should be able to help you in a lot of ways. And if you determine to be in the Word and to study it, this helps equip, I mean, this is all of us, to go through and look at the words and how they work in their context and what God is saying to them and why they're important in this book. And you do that, and it will edify you and build you up in the faith. And so that's why I'm doing this. Now, you can do this with any book of the New Testament, any of the letters of Paul, Peter, John, James. You know, you can do this. And that's why I put this book up here, so you can take a look and look them up and chase some of these down. And you're reading through the book and you say, wow, what's this word? And then you go and you figure out the Greek word, look it up in there, and all of a sudden you see it occurs three times, four times. You think it's important, you find out it really is. And so, again, that is giving you an exposure to God's Word that will grow you. And that's the reason I wanted to do this. Let's take 10 minutes, and we'll see if we can give you a similar kind of information related to the titles in Colossians.